you would turn with me in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I really desire your prayers this afternoon. Sometimes it's just very hard to know the Lord's mind. You need to hear from Him.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah, I need it. Yes, sir.
And if He speaks, He will speak comfort to the hearts of His people. And if you're not His, I pray He speaks to you too.
Yeah.
That He may be pleased to open up your eyes and make known unto you who He is.
Yeah.
As we tried to look at last night, He's God. Because He is God, He is to be served and worshiped and respected as God. That's what we want to try to look at today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I want to speak with the Lord's help there where we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear on the fear of God. It's lacking in our generation today. It says in Psalms that holy and reverent is His name. That means that He should be respected, recognized for who He is, that we ought to stand in awe of who He is, reverent. No human being has any right to try to wear the title of reverend.
Right. Go ahead. You're right. Go ahead.
I read an article the other day from Daniel Parks, and I forget all the reason he was calling this, had to call this office somewhere, and the woman, when she answered the phone, now woman, she said, "This is Reverend such and such," so he just ignored it, you know. He called her by a regular name, and she knows she corrected him. She said, "No, when you address me, you will call me Reverend." And what he did, he just hung up on it. And rightfully so.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No woman, man, or anybody has the right.
Right.
But only Him.
Yeah.
Holy and reverent is His name.
Yeah.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is no higher wisdom than to fear God.
Yeah, that's right.
And there is no true wisdom until He is feared.
Right.
There is no wisdom without fearing Him. Years ago, when I was small, I remember hearing people make these statements. You know how they described a believer? They said he's a God-fearing person.
Right.
Didn't they?
Right.
I hadn't heard that term in years, but that's how they described them.
Yeah, you're right.
And they were probably right.
Yeah.
You sure don't see it in our day.
That's it.
That's just sad, but it's fact. They feared God.
Yeah.
They reverenced God. They had an awe about God. It's important for us to understand the fear of God. The reason is most people don't understand. They have a misunderstanding about the fear of God. They think it's talking about some slavish fear.
Yeah.
And everybody in religion today, and I may repeat myself, and I do, you just pray for me. That's all they know about the fear of God. They're kept under fear, under bondage. Now, you better do this. You better do that. That's no life. You don't reverence that God. You despise Him. That's right. When people believe in that slavish fear, you know what it does? It breeds superstition.
Yeah.
Read to you like what the Apostle Paul said. When he stood in the midst of Mars Hill, that place of all superstition, and he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and behold all your devotions and all your idols," and he said, "I found this inscription that was written on this one over here." They had one to every kind of God. He said, "You had this one over here. It said, 'To the unknown God.' Wherefore you ignorantly worship," he said, "that's the one I'm going to preach to you.
Amen.
I want to tell you about that God." But the reason they had one that said, "To the unknown God," they might just happen to be one out there somewhere. We want to make sure we don't offend him. Superstition. Religion is nothing more but superstition. It's not just people living over in a third world country somewhere beating drums. They do it in a Baptist church.
Right.
When they think they can get somebody up to the front of a church and get them to cry tears and get some emotional experience, that's superstition.
Right.
This right here, this one, it's just a house.
Right.
Yep. But if God's here, that's what makes the difference. Superstition. That's what it breeds. Superstition. And let me tell you this, we're not exempt from it. Like you said last night, Bruce, it's part of our old makeup.
Yeah.
When you sin, what's the first thing you do? Well, let's go make up.
Mm-hmm.
We got to feel like we do something. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we ain't done enough. We got to feel like we do more. Where'd that come from? We're born with it.
Yeah.
And it's superstition.
Right.
It's like when we pray, it's not just saying "now in the name of Jesus." It's not some magical term.
Exactly.
It's calling upon His name. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Godly fear consists with love.
Yes.
The more we fear God, the more we love God.
Yes, sir.
And the more we love God, the more we'll fear God.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
They both go hand in hand. It's like the two sides of a coin. This godly fear is not a destroyer, but a regulator of all other graces. It doesn't kill other graces. What are you talking about? It's like, you ever seen a pendulum on a clock? It goes from one extreme to the other. On this side, you have total despair. On this side, you have total presumption. I played religion for a long time, so I kind of know a little bit what I'm talking about. I remember people talking in religion and they'd say, "I don't have a think so, a hope so. I have a no so situation." That's the pendulum swinging to the other extreme. But somewhere between total despair and total presumption is godly fear.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Isn't it?
I like that.
Yeah.
We swing. That's the way we swing. We swing from total despair to total presumption.
Yeah, we do.
We get so filled with damnable pride.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We think, well, just because we believe in grace, that has nothing to do with
Amen.
It.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with it. I know we should believe the truth and God must reveal the truth to you.
Yes.
But He's not obligated.
Right.
He may leave you alone.
Yeah.
Just so you what? Fear Him.
Yeah.
Reverence Him.
Yes.
Does this make any sense? Without this fear, faith becomes presumptuous. And without this fear, love degenerates into familiarity.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
That's what we see today in religion, this cheap, flippant irreverence that they call worship.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not worship.
Right.
You'd imagine walking into his presence. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
They call him buddy, buddy, and all this. Some people look to him and call him like they're his equal.
Yeah.
They do to him just like Judas did.
Yeah.
They walk up and they kiss him on the cheek.
Yeah, that's right.
You know where you find true sinners? You find them at his feet,
amen,
kissing his
amen.
Feet.
Yeah.
It says in Psalms 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Greatly to be feared. And we need to think about that when we come together.
Yes,
read a good article the day by Gabe Stoniker, and he said, you know, you wouldn't expect the preacher to stand and not be prepared.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. That's right.
But how often do we come to the house of God?
Yeah, we're here.
Unprepared. We believe God's sovereign, but we should ask God, prepare my heart.
Yes, sir.
God, help me to recognize who you are.
Exactly.
Reverence. When the heart is full of godly fear, those other things, those superstitious things, are avoided. We avoid it like the plague. We run from it. We speak up sometimes and derogatory terms, but I tell you, it's scary. That's scary. And they do it in the name of God. That's the scary part. Godly fear will calm the mind and relieve it from depressing thoughts. You ever have depressing thoughts? How could anybody that knows God ever do what I did? Tis a point I long to know. Am I his or am I not?
Amen.
Do you ever feel that way?
Yes.
Depressing, distressing. Believers feel that way.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
They do. They do. Without a true knowledge of God, he cannot be feared.
Right.
Who can stand in awe of a majesty he is ignorant of? Men knowing not God's nature have often presumed so much upon his mercy that they have been destroyed by his justice.
Yes.
Just presumed. Isn't that right? We don't have right thoughts of God in his nature. Men don't have any understanding of God's majesty and God's holiness.
Right.
Our God is a consuming fire. Psalms 130, verse 3. Now listen to these two verses. If thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Now you think about that.
Amen.
If God can charge you with one sin,
one. That's
the thought of foolishness is sin. We shall give an account for every idle word. Sins that we're not even aware of.
Right.
He knows your thoughts before you think them.
Right.
Right. Where's any hope in that?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But read the next verse. But
yes.
There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared.
Right.
Let me just read to you what Mr. Gill said. Where there was there no forgiveness of sin, there would be no more fear of God among men than they are among the devils. You remember when our Lord came to him? They said, have you come to torment us before the time? That's all it is. For whom there is no forgiveness, there might be dread and trembling as among them, but no godly fear. But if God was strict to mark iniquity and not pardon it, there would be none to fear him, and all must be condemned and cut off by him. They would not be any fear. But in order to secure and to preserve his fear among men, he has taken the step and he has to pardon sin through Christ's sacrifice. And we fear him because of forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, right.
That's where it's at. Like you said, he covered my sins. That's worship. He's atoned for all my sin. Every one of them. Every sin. Well, I wish I could just believe that. But when God enables you to see that, that's when you fear him. That's when you can worship him. And before that, you can't. We that have experienced his grace and his mercy fear him. Psalms 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my heart, even praise to my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When we behold what our great Mediator, not only David, but the Son of David, has done for his people, his elect stand in awe. You mean God would save somebody like Saul of Tarsus? You mean that God would save somebody like Rahab the harlot? You mean that he would save somebody like Mary Magdalene who had 7 demons in her? Many shall see it and fear. Moses beheld his glory, and he said, so terrible was the sight that I exceedingly fear and quaked. Isaiah saw the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts, high and lifted up, and he said, woe is me. When you get home, I'll give you a reading assignment. Go read Habakkuk chapter 3. And back at 3, he saw and he understood. He saw God's glory revealed. He saw the workings of God's providence. And he saw God's sovereign salvation accomplished. And here's what he said. And when I heard, my belly trembled. And my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. And I trembled in myself. That I might rest in the day of trouble. Trembling is an effect of fear. Trembled. 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 John Bunyan said, this blessed my heart. He said, no fear, no grace. Though there is not always grace where there is a fear of hell. And that's where most people are at in religion. I remember when I was young, 11, 12, playing religion, they put on a play, I Dreamed I Searched Heaven for You, and had a man dressed up like the devil. Scared the devil out of me. I'm telling you. And they had all these workers, you know, trying to get all these people to make commitments. And I remember they came up to me, and I was scared to death. They said, don't you want to be saved? I'm going,
yeah.
I would have said yes to anything. You know all that was? That was just a fear of hell.
Right. Yeah.
Heaven and hell has nothing to do with it. What think you of Christ, whose son is he? He said, though there is not always grace where there is the fear of hell, yet to be sure there is no grace where there is no fear of God.
Yeah. Right.
No fear of God. There's no grace. He said that we may have grace whereby we may observe him. It takes God's grace. He's the only one that can. You can't work it up. You can't make yourself fear God.
Right.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah. You can't do it. Try it. It's impossible. But he can.
Amen.
When you see him, you will tremble. Tremble. Where this fear of God is genuine, it is not an occasional exercise, but it is an abiding principle. It's abiding. Listen. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Happy is the man As you said, blessed is the man. Happy is the man that feareth always. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, that let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This perfecting holiness in the fear of God, talking about a holiness of life, our walk and our conduct and our conversation of a true believer. They fear God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some may say, well, how does this verse in Hebrews agree with the statement that John made in 1 John 4:18? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The only perfect love is in Christ. That's it. Your love for Him is not perfect. Not in the least. But perfect love. I like that word, cast is out. It drives it out of the house. Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You ever been afraid? Really afraid? Under the wrath of God. You knew you'd sinned. What can drive away that slavish fear? Yeah. His grace. His perfect love.
Right. That's it right there.
Amen. Not walking around in fear. Well, when have I done enough? That reminds me, and I think it's in Romans chapter 7, talking about a woman being married to a man, and as long as she's married to that man, she's bound by that man. If that husband be dead, she's freed from that man to marry to another. It's like her being married to a man, and every time she comes home, every day he says, have you cleaned the house? And she said, yeah. He said, but it's still dirty. Have you washed the clothes? Yeah, but you didn't wash them all. And goes on and on and on. And then he's dead. That's like you've been married to the law. Right. The law says whatever you do, it's not good enough.
Right.
It's like him coming home every day and saying, well, you ain't
always
done enough.
Always.
You ain't done enough. But love is, she's married to another man. He comes in and says, darling, I love you. Everything's all right. Forget about them dishes. Just sit down and talk.
Yeah. Anyway.
Isn't that it? Perfect love casts out fear. I don't know what it is to live in fear. Say, well, does God love me? How could He love me? He loves me perfectly. It's a perfect love. And it casts out fear. If ever you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and are given the sweet assurance of God's perfect love for you and His darling Son, the knowledge of that love will cast out fear from your soul. And it will set you free. I think a lot of times when we come together, our hearts are heavy and we've got a lot of things on our mind, and we come in and God in His grace just allows us to just forget about it all. And we're just reminded again that God loves His people perfectly.
Yeah.
And nothing else matters.
Amen.
Nothing else matters. And give you a few things. The benefits of godly fear. It will deliver us from the fear of men, which brings a snare.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, it's a scary thing to stand before men. That's scary. You never get over it.
Yeah.
I know that boy, when he stood up to read scripture, I know how he felt. What is that? It's just a fear of man.
Yeah.
But godly reverence will deliver you from that, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If I ever impress you, what have I done?
Right.
It's just one worm impressed by another worm.
Yeah.
We're all sinners.
Yeah.
Our Lord said, I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them which kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. I say you fear in him. Secondly, godly fear will inspire confidence and boldness. Remember we tried to look last night about those three Hebrew boys?
Sure.
If God wants to, he's able.
Yeah. Right.
That's confidence.
That's confidence.
When Peter and John, who were unlearned and ignorant men, stood before those kings who had the right and the power to kill every one of them, they proclaimed our Lord. Where'd that confidence come from? Godly fear. They feared God. They reverenced God. And they saw the boldness, and they took knowledge that those men had been with Jesus. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That's it. It's not our strength. Nothing. Godly fear is a great preservative against sin. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. This is what delivers us. To avoid snares. You remember Joseph in Potiphar's house? She said, come, Joseph. You know what he did? He ran.
Yeah, that's
godly fear.
Right.
He knew what was in his heart.
Right. Yeah. That's the problem.
That's right. He worshipped God, he reverenced God, and he feared what was in here.
Yeah, there it is.
You know what Paul said? Paul said, the love of God constrains me. And I heard Brother Henry read it like this one time. He said, the love of God not only constrains me, it restrains me.
Yeah.
It's because of his love for me.
Yeah.
Why would I want to sin against him? Why would I want to grieve his spirit?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I used to have a dad. He's pretty stern. And I'd obey my dad as long as he was around. But boy, when he wasn't around, it was a different story.
Right.
There was no respect there.
Yeah.
But
right.
Respect would have been that I would have done whatever he wanted. If he had been in the next county, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. Right. That's the difference.
God sees everything we do. He sees why we do it.
Yeah.
Godly fear of the Lord is free. It frees us from worldly anxiety. God's people deal with anxiety.
Sure.
We live in a stressful world. Remember I read in Habakkuk 3:16. Now let me read to you Habakkuk 3:17. After he had saw the and stood before God, now he lifts his voice in this great song. He said, although the fig tree shall not bloom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herb in the stall. There's nothing. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
If everything's in a mess,
that's it.
This will deliver you.
Amen.
This is my salvation. The fear of God also quiets our afflicted soul. Now listen. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast shown thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given us a banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. The other day I saw on the TV, it blessed my heart. It was showing somewhere there in West Virginia, they have all the flags that was flown in the Civil War. They've got them, you can go in there and watch them. They're in these plaques, and they were tattered and they were ripped, and they were actually fought in battle. And they said, when you go in there and see those flags, they say, you can about guarantee that whoever carried that flag was killed. They said it was an honor to be chosen to carry that banner. Because you know why? When they would get on a battlefield, you can imagine how bloody and how gory it was. There'd be smoke and fire and everything around, and you'd get confused. You wouldn't know where you was at. And you know what you'd start looking for? That banner.
Yeah.
And when you get confused and the battles are raging, you start looking for that banner.
Amen.
And that banner's Christ.
Amen.
That's it. That's, we come here from different backgrounds. That's right.
Yep.
But God rallies us around that flag.
There you go.
And I like that part. He says that it may be displayed. I read an article one time and said, you know, when that flag's hanging on that pole, it's still a flag, but you let the wind blow.
Yeah.
And it waves in all its glory. And that's like us meeting. We hold the gospel up. We hold Christ up. And he's always God. He's always Christ.
Right.
But you let the breath of God blow.
Yeah.
And you see all of his glory. You say, that's what I was looking for. You know what that does? That will quieten your afflicted soul.
Yes.
He is our banner. I'll give you one more. The fear of the Lord leads to communion with God. Psalms 25:12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant.
Yeah.
I like for somebody to tell me a little secret.
Yeah.
Just whisper in my ear. He has told us his secret.
Yes, he has.
Yes, sir.
The mystery.
Yes.
The mystery.
Yeah. He's told us.
It leads to communion. Oh, to have communion with God. I read something the other day, and that's where I got this. I run across something, it blessed my heart, and I'm gonna. It closed with these 14 different things between slavish fear and childlike fear. And I thought that he named that pretty well right, childlike fear. That's what it is, just like a little child. Listen. Slavish fear has its roots in the covenant of works. Childlike fear in the covenant of grace. Slavish fear is provoked by the consequences of sin. Childlike fear by the dishonoring character of sin. Slavish fear is motivated by legalistic servitude, looking for a reward. Childlike fear is motivated by voluntary obedience. And he's looking for grace. Slavish fear, the enmity of the heart is not broken. Childlike fear, the enmity is broken. Listen, Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Slavish fear, we have hard thoughts of God. Childlike fear, we have high thoughts of God. Slavish fear hates punishment. Childlike fear hates sin.
There you go.
I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I'm not. I just don't want to be punished. No, I hate the sin.
Right.
My sin is ever before me.
Yeah.
You see the difference?
That's it.
Slavish fear seeks for self-preservation and self-honor. Childlike fear seeks the preservation of the Lord's attributes and his honor. Slavish fear produces a convinced sinner. Childlike fear produces a truly convicted and a converted
Amen.
Sinner.
Amen.
Slavish fear is a temporary character. It has fits and starts. Childlike fear is more steady. It abides more deeply. It grows more profoundly in the soul of the heart. Slavish fear ultimately returns to the world. It clings to sin and is choked by the world. Childlike fear cannot return to the world. It parts from sin and longs to be with God. Our Lord asked the disciples one day, "Will you leave also?" And they said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Slavish fear never truly humbles the sinner as an unworthy sinner. childlike fear humbles the sinner and makes him feel like he's the chiefest of sinners. I believe every believer, really, if you admit it, you feel like you're the worst of the bunch. Isn't that right? Slavish fear leaves the eye closed to Christ. Childlike fear has its eye fixed upon Christ. Slavish fear has its own glory as its ultimate goal. It desires only a quieted conscience, peace, and rest. Childlike fear aims for the glory of God, true rest in God, in its highest glory. And the last one, slavish fear ends in damnation. Childlike fear ends in salvation. My question to you is, what fear do you possess? Slavish or childlike? God give me reverence to serve Him with godly fear. Amen.
Here, brother.
Thank you.
Give me a hug.